In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, we present a special gift to you in honor of our 300th episode! Back in December 2014, co-host Gary was a part of a comedy show with William Brown and favorite guest Gabe. So listen to this bootleg recording, laugh your ass off, and enjoy as COL 300 starts now. February 15th, 2015. I'm Jeff, and I forgot my thanks.
La la la.
Seriously, it's not playing, so go ahead and just
continue. I'm Damon.
You don't have to pause. Keep going.
I'm sorry, and I'm Gary.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of an Eternal Length, episode number 300.
Yeah,
you know, this is one of those things where it's just kind of like a spur of the moment recording and trying to create a new file, but instead of copying from a previous one and putting it together, I'm like, oh, this is going to be an easy one. I just need to have record us and the intro and the outro, and forgot a few things.
But that's okay.
That's okay. We're fine.
We've been doing this for 300 episodes, and we
maybe I should have acted it out. I should have gone, "Who's your bear?" That's right. I am your bear. And David goes and he goes, "Everybody dance now!" Oh God, that was horrible.
Yeah,
and then we all do our RuPaul impersonation and go, "Don't know, hurt nobody with your bad self."
Hurt nobody.
Oh my God.
There, we got him in.
I am crying.
We have broken game. Well, I will go ahead and say this.
It's been like the biggest train wreck of the beginning of a show.
Yeah, in any case, it's episode 300. So, for all intents and purposes, really, we're taking the week off. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We're not recording your show.
This is how we celebrate. We're taking a vacation.
No, what is actually the case is we got so drunk last night to celebrate the 300th episode that we totally forgot to record it.
This is one of the reasons why we pre-record things.
Yeah.
Because every show we do is pre-recorded. We don't release it the same day.
That's not completely true.
Shh, don't tell me that. Still have to edit last week's show. Shh. Who's pulling everything behind the curtain now? Shady.
Couldn't have an episode without a little say. Welcome to 300 episodes, folks. Happy after Valentine's Day.
So screw you, folks. Nothing's been going on because we have no idea what will be going on now that we're trying to break the fourth wall. Okay? So know what's going on. No stairs or anything. All we're going to say is, hey, it's our 300th fucking episodes. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate that so much. We hope to have some great things in the next 100 in the rest of the year. Hopefully. I'm saying hopefully a lot for some reason. I don't know. Anyways, the 300.
Yeah.
You guys have been around for 100 and a half or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Damon's the old man, not me.
Yeah, technically.
Well, if we're really talking about old men, I'm probably the oldest being since episode one.
True.
You fuckers didn't come in until episode 150 something.
150 something, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I was later than that.
Yes.
You were later than that, yes.
Because Damon had already been on the show for a while. And if anybody wants to blame anybody for me being on here, blame Damon.
Wow.
Well, here's the thing is,
well, because
that's probably a good thing to be blamed
about. The show.
Yeah, it's a good thing to be blamed about, honestly, because Gary has been one of my favorite additions to the show.
Yay.
I mean, and he wouldn't be here unless Damon was here. So obviously he was freaking awesome for getting on the show. He's been around since the beginning of the Next Generation.
TNG.
Yeah.
TNG. Remember those episodes? We called them TNGs instead of the actual numbers.
Yep, I do.
And eventually we actually got to numbers and was like, yay.
Hey.
To do loves on Craigslist.
Yay.
So many things come and gone. Yeah. I joined episode 195.
Ah. I've been around for longer than 100 episodes. So.
Yeah.
But, oh, for God's sake, 300 years. Episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've been on for 300 episodes, which is a lot in podcast recording people.
Yeah, which is not the full 7 years that since the beginning, since this started. So it's been a lot longer than that. There was a year hiatus. There was I started off with JJ and Tim and I. Eventually, as a full-time co-host, we brought on Griff for a while, and it just kind of like things got busy and stuff.
Yeah.
And it just kind of faded away. I tried to do like, oh, well, I'm going to try to do it monthly, but then things happened.
Life happens.
Yeah. And we've also had a lot of guests on.
Yeah.
And
well, I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Oh.
He's just talking about the demise of the original series.
Okay. Yeah.
TOS, as people call it. And
see, just goes to show people, 100 plus episodes in, I still don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah. Aww.
Apparently there was a plan. I apologize for screwing up Jeff's plan.
Well, here I am trying to talk about the history of the show, okay? You should have been able to tell that right off the bat.
I'm going to go back to my cocktail. Go ahead.
About a half a year. I think it was January of the following year. And I think, did we do our first show like in February or something? I'm trying to remember.
You mean TNG?
Yeah.
It might have been, I think it was January because that's the anniversary, if I remember correctly.
Well, that's the anniversary of the show in general.
Yeah.
The 23rd of January is when the first episode of Cubs Out Loud, you know, episode number one. Maybe it was zero. I don't remember.
Let's go.
Testing 123, I think it was called. I mean, technically, I could go over to CubsOutLoud.com and to the archives and check on that. But yeah. I'm too lazy. I'm just going to have my WoW in front of me and have my monk just sitting there with his with Leah Raja, the Saberon shaman that he's with, seeing the Cleftoof that I'm about to trap so that I can get the leather and maybe some savage blood from him. But that's another matter altogether. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
No.
So we broke. Thought it was the end of the show. And probably, I think the idea was back in January of the next year is when I was like, you know, I really want to bring Cubs Out Loud back.
Might have been December.
Maybe.
Hmm.
In any case, later on, I wanted to bring it back. So there was this new website that came up called Bruiser.
Yeah.
And it was kind of awesome. And I was talking to all these people on there. And I said, hey, guys, who's interested in doing a podcast? I would love to bring back Cubs Out Loud. Now, who's interested? And I got Damon and I got Ben. Do we have anybody else I was looking at? I don't think so. Not right away, at least.
Yeah.
I'm like, great. Let's do a test show. We'll call it the TMG. And we did a show and did we do two shows or one show?
I have a feeling it was two.
It was two shows. And then Robert got interested.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a kind of a solo show with him as kind of his audition. And he came on and we kept going on. Eventually, Eric came on. Robert had to go for a while. Ben, and then Gary came on.
Yep.
Gary came on as a guest first.
Correct.
And then And then pretty much the very next week, he was like gone full time.
Yeah. We loved you so much, Gary, that we decided to keep you.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Robert had to go. Things got crazy and Ben left. And things got crazy personally for Eric. So he left and came to us three to kind of carry on the show.
We were like Destiny's Child, except we technically didn't sue anyone or kick anyone out of this group. We just sort of, people just had to leave.
No, we kind of kicked somebody out, but
so yeah. No. He left. He left.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. In case. So it's been us three for the past year. Probably a little over a year, actually.
I think so, something like that.
Because I think it was and by the end of January, it was just us three. And things changed. The format changed. We started to get more into thinking ahead of the game instead of being like, okay, what are we doing this week? And we started our Let's Talk About Sex series. We started our Let's Talk About Kink series. And here we are.
Yeah.
300 episodes later. So that is the history of Cubs Out Loud. By the way, if you go to the archives, you'll see all the posts of the shows. But some of those older shows have gone missing, unfortunately.
Oh. So
might not be able to listen to them all. But if you want to go back and listen to some of the older episodes with me, Tim, and JJ, you're very welcome to do so. And leave a comment on the blog of what you think, and we'll talk about it on the show, kind of reminisce.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry, you fuckers. We're not going to record a show this week. That's it. We're taking it off. We've had 300 shows. We did all 300 shows. We're done for right now. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, Gary, what do we got for people?
We have a really special item. When Damon and I were at Midwest Bear Fest in Indianapolis last December, I was asked by William Brown, who has been a guest on our show for Cubs Out Loud on an On the Road episodes. He does a comedy hour. He's done stand-up comedy in the past. And so he asked myself and Mr. Gabriel Majors if we would join him. And so we sort of basically did a podcast comedy show, like with William kind of being the main person. He used to have a podcast that he did called The Inappropriate Couch that both Gabe and I had been on. So it's this kind of running thing that every once in a while we get together and do it. So we did it. Damon got to watch it. In fact, he took a picture from the audience, I think, posted it on Facebook. And we had a lot of fun. And lo and behold, someone recorded the show. And we have a bootleg, of the show.
Oh, my God. I love that you're calling it a bootleg.
Well, that's what it is. It's a audio recording of a show. It's what you used to do way back in the day, you know, when those of us that went to concerts and, you know, wanted to have a recording, you'd somehow sneak in a tape recorder or something and and make unauthorized copies, bootlegs of shows or different things, and then you would pass them around. And
nice.
So this is a live show recording. In fact, it just occurred to me since it came to us, Jeff, you might want to listen and edit it. And by that, I mean just listen to the beginning and the end type thing.
Well, you don't have to put say that now.
No, I really do. I think I do need to say that now. Otherwise,
it's just going to start to be like, what the heck?
Yeah, there would be all this awkward sound in the beginning and at the end and be like, what the hell? hence, it's a bootleg. It's not polished, kids, by any means in the imagination. So it doesn't, and it probably might have some strange sounds or pops or who knows what.
This is what happened when somebody just takes out their phone, hits their recorder app, and hits record and just lets it record from wherever they happen to be sitting. I have no idea where this person happened to be sitting.
Me neither. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Possibly.
Anyways. But so if the quality isn't that great, well, next time you should be there.
Yeah.
Jeez. You know, you get a bootleg for a concert, you know, maybe it would be better if you could go to the concert.
Hmm.
Anyways, that's beside the point.
Agreed.
Let's move on to the show. Unless anybody else has any other thoughts. Happy 300.
Happy 300.
Happy 300, everybody! Woohoo!
300. We made it to a milestone. And who knows, maybe when we get to 400, we'll have a shindig get together or something.
Ooh.
So he didn't take the hint that I was trying to do my whole say goodnight, everybody, but I was doing it. Have a happy 300, everybody!
Bye! See you later.
Yes. It must have been a fun night because housekeeping wouldn't make eye contact with anybody. So, it must have been a great night.
And that poor little girl instead of
the Oh, yeah, there was a lovely lady in the back setting up for the next, this was yesterday during the Cards Against Humanity game show. And they were setting up for the next event, which was the pizza or something, I don't know. And I just started rattling off words like big black dick and everything, and she just like looked at me, like made eye contact with me, like, really? Like, oh, you should have been here half an hour ago.
Have you never heard of
me? A lot of people haven't. I'm very surprised.
I come out of that game hating myself every single
time. Oh, you get used to it. I went through high school. I've been hating myself for a long time. Anyway, welcome to my almost an hour comedy show. That was all Mike Davis's idea because for several years in a row, I would do a comedy show and I would end up doing like just 45 minutes because I didn't have a clock, you know. And I still don't have a clock. Now, I've got Denver and Vic over here who are going to make sure that I'm done at 6 o'clock. They are my Statler and Waldorf. I'm William Brown, for those that don't know, and I have a couple of guests to your right. I'm sorry, I went to public school. Shut up. Yeah, I know. I fucked up on the stage for theater too. This is Gabe. Gabe. Is it all working? What? It should be working.
It's just me.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Gabriel. I'm a bear. I'm a bootblack. I'm a pervert. Thank you for that. And thank you for coming out today.
That's why.
I guess I'm supposed to stretch here.
Try that
one. Try this one? Oh, there we go. There we go. Okay. So, what do you think of me?
I gave Gary the quiet microphone because if you know Gary, you know why I gave him the quiet microphone. But apparently, that was my lovely introduction for Gary. Gary Snyder from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Hello, everybody. If anyone has ever listened to your podcast, The Inappropriate Couch,
right.
I was nicknamed The Mouth.
Yes.
The Mouth.
And that had several layers of entendre there. It was very complex.
It does.
So last year when I did my comedy show, I did something just a little different, and I invited people up on stage with me to kind of do a talk panel. I did it because I was having a really rough year, and I really had not come up with a lot of new material. So I thought, what better way to have a comedy show than to have the people that I know are great springboards of comedy. Springboard, yes.
We're not new comedians, but we're good springboard.
You are my backup comedians.
I just see
we're the backup comedians.
I see a big cannonball fan. You know, water park, big boys.
Oh, yeah.
Springboard.
That's springboard. He had to leave a trail of Reese's Pieces to get us there, but he got us there.
Which is why.
Bitch, I will use anything to get you to come.
Make it Skittles.
Because you're free?
Well, yes, and... And I come in a lot of flavors, so... Anyway, who saw my show last year? Anyone? And who has never seen me before?
Virgins!
Wow!
All right. This is so exciting!
Yeah, but they've all heard me before. Okay, first of all, you're supposed to guard the door. No compliments from the peanut gallery. Just check badges. Shush.
Check baggage? I mean, because you all come with a lot of baggage.
Wait, for badges, not baggage.
Losing your
own. Well, that's
bad for an interpreter.
It is bad for an ASL interpreter to lose their hearing.
Oh, I think it's very exciting and fun because you never know what the fuck he's gonna say.
Gabe has been my ASL interpreter whenever I've done emceeing. I think one time even comedy.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
That's always fun because I always test him to see, you know.
You know what I've always found very interesting though is that people say that I'm their interpreter, I'm not the interpreter. So you're the deaf person's interpreter. Are they your deaf person? Yes, I keep them down in the river.
And by the river!
Ah, interpreter.
So, what I'm hearing, Dave, is you have an issue with possession?
Yes, my head spins around.
Nice.
So, it is yet another Bear Fest. There have been stories. There have been, there's been a lot of balcony bingo going on, have you noticed?
Amen.
Oh my god, that's just been, you know.
I went through like 3 shots of Fireball with that.
That's something that I've noticed, is that alcohol has pretty much become communal around here. Somebody can just bring a great big jug of inebriation, and anybody can just have some, and no one complains.
You know, I think we can thank the Memorial Jim's Juice for that.
Jim's Juice. Oh my goodness, is Jim here? No, I don't think Jim's here.
202.
Jim is occupied. Jim is occupied.
Hey, Jim! Let's hear it for Jim. Okay, you make it here.
Dear Diary, Jim got laid, and we all applauded.
100 men were so proud of him.
And I'm sorry to those who have heard about the Jim's Juice thing. But because Gary is up here, and he was the reason why it went from festive to what it was. Well,
I say it with all the love I can. Wait, Mr. ASL, is that the right interpretation?
Yeah,
what
the fuck ever.
Oh, okay. Oh, even better. Nice.
I never remember that one.
I got a Christmas dinner to go to with my parents. So.
Whatever, right?
Yeah.
What the fuck ever.
Nice. That was awesome. Your beard held your microphone for you.
It's prehensile.
It's prehensile. Oh, that's gotta be fun.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, some guy's getting jerked off, and your hands are completely up, and just like, respect the beard.
Cthulhu beard.
You've been holding back.
Yep, you've been. So, the story about Jim's Juice, it is a lovely cocktail that has been passed around every year for the last couple of years at Bearfest. And it is, what it has morphed into, a flavored vodka, a matching sugar-free, like a crystal light sort of drink, and water and ice. That's pretty much it.
So it's diabetic friendly.
It is diabetic friendly. Well, yeah.
Alcohol is not exactly diabetic friendly. No.
Yeah. I would say friendly.
I'm not drinking. You're absolutely right.
Well, the first year that Jim's Juice made its debut, we had not even realized it was going to become so popular because Jim, being as generous as he is, was just passing out glasses left and right. Well, as it happened, there were people that felt so bad that they consumed so much Jim's Juice and was having such a great time that they actually went to the liquor store and replenished the flavored vodka. We actually ended up with more vodka in the room than when we started.
Oh, and did you know that this year it has evolved?
Yes.
He's a true mixologist and genius here. It's a cinnamon caramel apple.
Oh, and peach cobbler.
And peach cobbler options.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. So, the point of the story is that the original incarnation of Jim's Juice was red. It was cherry limeade, and orange vodka.
Yeah, red flavor.
And I have to explain the recipe to you so you can understand why things got fucked up so fast.
Things?
Huh?
People got fucked up real fast.
Now, understand it is a deep red, just like red Kool-Aid. So that gives you any idea.
Mm-hmm.
The original recipe was that you would take ice, you'd fill it a third of the way up, you would take the vodka, fill it up to the top of the ice, you'd fill the rest with water, and the drink mix.
Mm-hmm.
You'd add the drink mix and then fill the rest up with water. Well, Jim, the one that created this juice, decided to take a nap. And Gary here said, we're out of Jim's juice, I'll make more. So he tried to remember, I'm assuming, what the recipe was, because he really wasn't paying attention. And he filled up ice to the third of the way up, filled the entire thing with vodka, added the drink mix, and
no, no, I didn't fill it all the way up with vodka. I just emptied bottles.
Yes.
I just kind of emptied the bottle, and I think I grabbed a second bottle and emptied it, because people were so gracious in sharing and just filled us with a bar we never had. It. And I just kind of kept pouring.
Yes.
And I added the flavor, and I think I added a little water. But by then,
oh, yes, for flavor and garnish. You were like, spritz that would be good. What ended up happening was that we passed a lot of that shit out. I mean, we passed a lot out. Do you want to know how we know? When I went to check out that Sunday morning of the hotel, the waitress was like, oh my God, you're 225? And I said, yes. And she said, we heard that. Why? There were pillows, there were towels, entire bathrooms looking like someone had been beheaded. There was red everywhere. We should have known that this was going to be an issue because the night before, people were walking around with red all around their mouths. Some of them were on their shirts, around some crotches. It was like, seriously, it was like a forensic nightmare. So, but it was great because the hotel staff, they were cool. They were like, oh, we don't care. We have bleach. We just want to know what it was.
So the moral of the story is that when a man named Jim comes up to you and offers you Kool-Aid...
Wait, no. That happened in Jonestown. That very same thing. And it turned out very, very badly. This was like Jonestown light. Everybody didn't die. They just took a long nap.
But they were happy.
They were.
They were some of the happiest people I ever saw doing the laps around the atrium at 3:30 in the morning.
Just knock on windows.
Doing the Fruit Loop.
Want some? This awkward moment brought to you by alcohol. And sometimes it worked. So, and of course it's a new hotel this year, so we have a new staff to break in. Yeah, people are kind of like, yeah, well, my fault. But I like the fact that there are like several floors, and there's lots of rooms, and you'll see a light turn on, you have a show. And then you see another light turn on, you have another show. It's like, people don't think about curtains until they've already committed a misdemeanor, you know?
But I do like that misdemeanor, because it's a new hotel, people are still holding back a little bit, and I haven't seen actual public nudity in the public space.
Oh, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Right.
This is not going to happen. This
right. This announcement brought to you by Mike Davis.
Mike over there is a big snake. No, that never happens. I've never seen that happen.
It doesn't ever happen.
It's never happened at Bearfest. Bearfest is a family I'm sorry.
Pshaw.
You're not even related to Pinocchio, so don't try. I know it gets big and long at certain moments, but this ain't it.
Are we talking about my nose?
Sure.
Sure, why not? Seriously, that's been my whole mantra for the whole weekend. Sure, why not? You want some more Jim's juice? Sure, why not? And
you gotta be careful with that.
Why?
So you have to be sober and pay attention when you go to say sure, why not?
I don't think... Okay. Just so everybody knows, sober me is funny and cute. Drunk me is unpredictable.
Sarcastic.
I mean, sarcastic. Well, okay. You know, as I've explained before, vodka makes me mellow. Tequila makes me stupid. And whiskey makes me hump things. Indiscriminately. But there's a catch.
What?
What?
Yeah, that's the thing. You got a table over there that's going to be like,
oh,
wow.
Crown Royal, yeah! There's a catch, though. It's like the Alpine game on The Price is Right, because I go from flirty tipsy to oopsie daisy real quick. And it's on the floor with my pants around my ankles singing show tunes. It's not considered sexy. Oh, I just saw jazz hands. Rusty! What the...
He's in a spy.
No, he's not listening. They're not listening. I tried.
If
you went backstage, I'm sure you'd see there was like a big pile of earplugs.
Yes.
Just sitting on a table and, you know.
On the scenes.
But we love the staff. The staff has been very accommodating and very tolerant and very sedated, so. So I think, and this is something I don't ever think I've ever really done, and it's a very common subject to bring up, but it's your I was so drunk story.
Oh, I got a good one about you.
Yeah. Ooh. You mean it's a story about when I was drunk?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
In another city.
You're not going to talk about St. Louis, are you?
Now I have to.
No! No! I told that story last year. Is this a new one?
What do you mean a new one? I've only been there once and you only screwed me over once, so I'm going to write that for
you. That was an accident. That's before I found out that you can get really bitchy when you're pissed.
Or you can get real forgetful on rum.
Really? Oh, that's right. I had to go through the archive. See, there's a part of my brain I call the archive. It has sandbags around it, so alcohol can't get to it and fuck up with my memories. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you were supposed to stay in my room, and I got drunk, and then
you disappeared
and locked the door. I didn't disappear.
No, he never answered it. It was frozen before frozen came around. I knocked on the door. I asked if I could come in or play or anything, and he never answered.
He wanted to build a snowman, and I said no.
No, I didn't even hear that. It was silence on the other end. So I don't know if you had a ball gag in you or what was going on.
Was he even in there?
I don't know. No. He was at the bar, and then he disappeared. The best part of it was your room number that year. Do you remember this? We were at JJ's, and I said to you, hey, I decided to stay Sunday night, so we're at the big event over at JJ's, and he said, oh, no problem, you can stay in my room. And I was like, okay, you said, when you get to the hotel, my room number is 911.
Oh, my God, that is so right.
And for about 2 seconds, I was like, am I being punked?
What?
Because I'm in a moment of need. You are my friend.
Uh-huh. You're like, seriously, William would never do that to you.
Not on purpose. All I'm saying is having a room number of 911 makes tricking very difficult, okay? Because first of all, they don't take you seriously. Number two, they take it as a sign. I don't want to go to that room.
Room 666.
Yeah, 666.
I watched Rescue 911. That was not pretty. So, do you have an I Was So Drunk story?
Oh, dear.
Mine fits into one sentence.
Ooh. While you're thinking, it fits into one
sentence. Okay, it fits into a couple sentences to explain why. But the reality is that I was so drunk.
Uh-huh.
How drunk are you?
How drunk are you?
So drunk, I woke up next to Natasha.
Oh.
She made big trouble for who said squirrel.
And we looked at each other and we said, you're not Scott.
That asshole. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was back in college.
First boyfriend.
Oh. So you looked over at a woman and said, you're not Scott.
And she said, hey, you're not Scott either. We realized we're in Scott's bed.
All right.
Do I need to connect the dots?
Carmen San Diego wants to know, where was Scott?
He was running far, far out.
Because he woke up, and he's like, neither one of these is my wife.
Yeah.
I think I'm in trouble.
He's like, oh, wait, they don't others.
Oh! Ooh.
Shame, shame.
Oh, yes, no. I don't need to connect the dots. Yeah.
Ooh, you connected more than that, I'm sure.
Yeah, we trash his apartment. We
trash his apartment.
We cut the electric.
Silverware in the microwave. Shameless sink.
Silverware went down the garbage disposal. All his clothes went into the...
You guys are all classy and stuff. It's like, you just ruined silverware. I ruined...
We cut the electric cords off of everything.
Oh my god.
We broke off all the light bulbs.
The question you have to ask yourself, though, is how can you, when you are double timing, somehow get the two people that you're double timing with in the same bed to wake up next to each other?
Just never give out a key
to anybody you're dating. Oh my god, was there any spooning?
I woke up next to.
I was so drunk. I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh my god.
I don't think I would have willingly gotten into bed with Natasha in Scott's house.
So. When did you get so soft and start smelling like lilacs? Grandma?
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Cards Against Humanity has done bad things to you.
You had time. What's your I was so drunk story?
Again, college. Apparently, I had a lapse of memory of time in which a porcelain god and I communed for about 45 minutes.
45 minutes? Good God.
Well, in my recollection, only about 1 minute went by in time. But I was living on campus in the residence hall. We have what we call RA's resident assistant, and he had checked on me, and then he came back. In my mind, I was like, it's been a minute. What the? And I was like, I'm fine. And he goes, no, you're not. It's been 45 minutes.
Oh,
so with the...
Apparently not. Yeah, apparently not. He left me alone for 45 minutes in the stall in the bathroom on the floor.
Well, he's experienced. He's an RA. I'm sure he's seen this before.
We are drawn. There's something about gross inebriation that we are drawn to the toilet, whether we are sick or not, because it suddenly becomes the most comfortable place to put your head.
It's cool.
It is. It's like, oh my god, I want to keep my head here forever. Oh, and there's a nice blue cake in here that I can eat later. Oh my god. Oh. It is.
I've never been that drunk.
Well, I told my I was so drunk last. Does anybody remember my I was so drunk last story from last year?
No.
St. Louis? No. Okay, good. All right, because I can tell it again. I just recently started drinking. I'm 40 now, and I probably didn't start really consuming alcohol on a social basis outside of beer until I was like 34. And about 3 years ago was the first time that I ever decided, I'm getting fucked up. So I chose Whiskey 7, and this was at St. Louis Furball, or St. Louis Hibernation at the Furball. We all familiar with the Furball? Now, I want you to imagine this, okay? You pay like $35 mm-hmm. for a four-hour party. However, well drinks and beer are free. Everything else is like $1.50. Math. Okay? So it was possible to get through an entire evening absolutely smashed in like 2.5 hours because people are just going up getting a drink and then going up getting another. It's crazy.
For like under $20.
And this is where I chose to get fucked up. Well, I made this decision and I thought the first thing that I want to do is I want to have dinner and I want to make sure that I eat something to cut the alcohol. I knew nothing about what you eat to cut alcohol.
Tell me it was not Mexican.
Worse.
Italian.
Beef stew.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, there's a chicken there.
There was like one biscuit on top. That was the only bread I had, aside from the potatoes. Okay. Now, imagine me later. There I am. I'm at the bar. At one point, I have two Whiskey 7s in my hand. Remember what whiskey does to me. 1 minute, I am dancing on the dance floor wearing a Mardi Gras mask in the shape of a penis on my face. And I have no idea where I got it from. Dancing to Deborah Cox, which I thought was hilarious. And the next thing I knew, I was lying on a concrete bench with the bar back smacking me in the face going, sit up or go home. And I had to be carried to the bus. I almost became that guy on the charter bus. Anybody, any one of us here that go do enough bear runs? There are that. There's the charter bus. There's always that one seat. People are like, do not sit there. Why not? Someone threw up in that chair badly. I almost became that guy. I'm not going to tell you how I prevented that. Moving on. I get tucked into bed by my bedmate. I had four roommates, and my bedmate, who took such good care of me, tucked me in bed and then decided to go to the after hours to play or whatever. The next thing I remember, I wake up feeling great. I actually felt really good. I did not, I don't remember parts of the night before, but other than that, I didn't have a headache. I didn't feel drunk.
You were still drunk.
I don't know. I actually took out my laptop and started working, and it was cohesive.
Don't send any of those emails.
So anyway, my bedmate, Brad, he comes back. He opens up the door and he looks in and he goes, "You're up?" And I said, "Yes." He goes, "How do you feel?" I said, "I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good. I'm just sitting here doing some work." And he goes, "I've only been gone an hour." And that's when I realized I had inherited my mother's liver. No, true story. It was like, now I know how she did it. So that was my I was so drunk story, which, you know, I swore after that I was never going to imbibe whiskey at great amounts ever again. Then I discovered maple flavored whiskey, and
it was over.
It's just a matter of time. Oh my God, by the end of that night, I smelled like a dead Canadian. I was pretty much flat out.
You say dead, I say tasty.
Oh God, yeah, what is it about Canadians? What's in the water up there? It must be the water and hockey.
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 Who's in my hearing? Hockey? Like the little stuff you eat?
No, not the Japanese breadsticks and everything like that. Okay, all right, so we need an ASL interpreter for the ASL interpreter.
Hockey's much funnier.
So what's your drink of choice, like, that you know that the night's over?
Oh, I think it's the ninth or tenth shot of Jägermeister.
Ooh.
Oh, no, the great thing about Jägermeister, here, I figured out Jägermeister. So, you say you don't like it. What you do is you drink enough of it to break the part of your brain, kill the brain cells that actually don't like the flavor, and then from there, you're good.
Do you know what happens when I drink Jägermeister? I will tell you the truth for no reason at all.
It's not my fault.
I'm just making a mental note. Jägermeister equals truth serum for William. Got it.
Oh, it is a truth serum. But it's not the truth you want, honey. Don't think for a second you're going to find out suddenly where the buried treasure is hidden. I'm going to tell you exactly what your head looks like. Okay?
Yeah, after that many shots of Jäger, I'm like, okay, I'm done.
10 shots of Jäger? God, did you see that they have that Jägermeister spice?
Oh, yeah, that is so good with coffee.
Yeah, oh my God, Jägermeister spice, for when you want your vomit to smell like Christmas.
Wow. It's true.
Is it to eggnog? Oh my God.
I had a Goldschlager evening. I had a Goldschlager evening once.
Yep.
And what was so funny was that I got to that point of inebriation where everything was funny. And I suddenly got this idea that if I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm in Michigan, so you can probably recycle these gold flakes. And then I pictured somebody just out there with a sieve, like in the bathroom. They wanted their 5 cents back, you know? Goldschlager does bad things.
I can see someone like in an old cotton shirt and a cap with their hat with a brim pulled up, and they're like panning.
Yeah, so.
You know the flakes don't maintain that shape the whole way through, right?
What I want to know is how do you know, Harry?
Okay,
how do you go to research this? How do you know?
Life.
And how many
in 40 some years, how many things have you ingested that look the same that come out the way they went in? Besides corn. Yes.
So
you make it sound like a gold nugget's gonna come out the other end, and you're gonna be like, ooh, I could.
money, big money, no whammies. Stop! So,
and in a kidney stone.
So I will.
Yeah, that's a completely different.
Coach Leonard's not going to go.
That is not funny. That is not funny.
Do you have one now?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I had one and they.
They're not funny. They're not.
No.
That's a man thing.
It's moving on.
Yeah, okay. So what is your liquor that it means the night's over?
The night's over?
Yeah.
I don't know about the night's over.
Uh-oh, Gary's doing shots of...
No, people know that gin makes me gregarious, outgoing, like, but people think it's funny. They think it's funny to feed me gin.
They always think it's funny.
Well, because they realize that, you know, they're like, I never knew you were so much fun, and I'm like, wow, I'm a real asshole day to day. I mean, how did you feel? They're like, you need to drink this because we like you when you drink that, as opposed to any other day, apparently.
After the second hour of their tirade, someone's like, someone get some gin, quick.
Well, you were at the thing that happened earlier this year.
The thing?
There was a function that William was at, and you saw that they brought up a tray to the stage with three, like, just basically gin on the rocks drinks on purpose to see what would happen if we got Gary to drink all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
not so much.
But usually, it is like Goldschlager or cinnamon schnapps for me. When I ask for that as a shot, people are like, oh, okay. It's going to get interesting.
So how about you? What's yours?
Yeah.
Is it the maple flavored bourbon?
Oh, no. But it's whiskey. Whiskey? If you see me drinking whiskey, the night has a timer. There is only so much. Get what you need before I fall off of that alpine cliff. End of the night. Because that would be it. What I have discovered, though, is because I do want to kind of be responsible when it comes to drinking alcohol, I have discovered over the course of the last few years, wine. Wine still gets me fucked up, and now I'll go on wine tours, so I get fucked up around straight people.
Does it make your feet swell?
What? I second that.
What?
Wine makes everybody's feet swell. Do you not hear this? Am I
look at these! If they started to swell up, it'd be like a scene from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I'd roll my ass on out of the room. I'm a size 11 double wide. Seriously. It sounds like a trailer.
This is a comedy show, not bragging.
What?
He's talking about his feet.
I'm talking about my feet. Sure he is. Okay, whatever. So anyway, no, but wine, I mean, I've been on several wine tours ever since I discovered how much I like wine. And I found out that the what's funny at the gay bar is not funny amongst uppity white people at the
or the what do they call it? The bridal party.
Oh my god. Oh, they get some
wine.
Because
all you guys are available.
Wasn't it Drenched Fur that we ended up following that bridal party to like three different wineries?
Yes.
And they kept looking back like those fuckers found us again.
Hey, you know, we were saying the exact same.
Well, yeah, you know, because they were all like, you know, and there we were sitting there going, and we were doing shots and we were making cock stories and doing all this other sort of stuff. The people dispersing the wine thought we were the best thing ever.
But they always do. Any beer winery tour I've ever been on, they love us. They're like, they look a little scary at first, and then someone queens out, and they're like, oh, they're harmless. They're really harmless. I mean, just eat another pretzel, honey. Have another glass of wine. Oh, you're gonna buy a case? Fabulous. We are completely out of anything bubbly or sweet. I'm so sorry. All we have left is dry.
Do you remember that one winery that we went to? I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
But we all picked up on something, which was they had a special naming for all the wines. All of the dry wines had named like Chardonnay, but all of the sweet wines were named Dazzle. They were basically stripper drag queen names, is what they were. But all of their sweet wines. And I brought this up, and here's all of these uptight people suddenly looking like that. I didn't say that it was like a drag queen pissed in the wine. I'm just saying it has the name Dazzle. What was one of the other ones?
I'm trying to remember.
Like fuchsia, something or other.
Yeah.
You know, it was like that crazy name. And I thought, there is a queen on a wine board committee somewhere that thought, no, wait. We'll get, because the wines that were like dry had these really fancy names, but boy, you picked up a sweet one and suddenly you were drinking Shalita Buffet. And what was?
Felicia something.
Fully. That would be a big name of wine. Like a By Felicia Red.
Yes.
Because you just give it out to everybody you don't like. It was because you drink a couple wines, it's By Felicia.
Have a high alcohol content.
Anybody else appreciate the wine? Yeah. If you don't like wine, or if you don't think you like wine, go on a wine tour, and you will find something that you will be palatable. You probably just had a nasty dry foot wine, okay? And I don't mean that the foot was dry. The foot was nasty. Because there's nothing worse than drinking a wine that tastes like a dirty foot, okay?
Unless you're into that.
Well, yes.
We don't know.
But then you feel free. Yeah. I don't know.
But, to be fair, I would say, instead of doing a tour, just do a tasting. Pick a winery, but pick a local winery. Just take a little time and go and taste. And usually most of them are really great about explaining the spectrum. From dry to sweet and the different tastings and stuff. And usually you'll find one that you're like, oh, I kind of like that. And then you're done. You're like, I now know what I like. And that helps you guide you as you go on. So you know what to avoid and what your preferences are.
Go ahead.
I think the last winery that we went to, though, was like specialized in, they had all these dark burgundy wines, but they had like this chocolate sauce. This cherry chocolate burgundy, oh my God, feeding
oh my God
stuff. Where's David
Watt?
It was like, that explains the housekeeping bill from the hotel.
No, that chocolate sauce was like jizz from a Nubian god. It was glorious.
Why you gotta be Nubian?
Huh?
Because
it was chocolate. It was chocolate, it was sweet, it was delicious.
That was the best, because in addition to having a bunch of wine, they also had all these products that were geared towards, they had like juices and squeezed directly from the cherries and the grapes and whatever.
Right.
But they had this chocolate sauce that was like, I wasn't going to buy anything. I was like, I've had red wine for like 3 hours now, okay, I'm not really impressed. But oh, chocolate. I'm all about that. It was, and you know, they...
I
got back in line like 3 times to taste.
I have an interesting juice story, and I kind of feel like my purpose in life is to serve an example to others. Whatever it is that I did, don't do. Have you ever? Okay, how many people here like cake?
Yay!
I was having this amazing piece of chocolate cake. But chocolate icing, it was just moist enough, it was just dry enough, it was absolutely perfect. And of course, when I'm eating good cake, I eat it quickly. So I'm shoveling this in my mouth, and suddenly, you know how it is when you're eating something kind of dry, you get stuck right here? I didn't have anything to drink in front of me, not milk or anything, but my partner, who's sitting on the other desk, had this great big a cup just full of something. I didn't care what it was, I thought it was water, swear to God. Tart cherry juice.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. I shaved off like several miles off of my life, I'm fairly certain, for that whole thing. I seriously puckered so hard there was a sonic boom, and I don't mean for my face.
I was going to say, it's just like putting alum in water. I mean, you just kind of like, everything just kind of, you know, sucks in.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Don't ever do that. Just don't ever do that. And the reason why he had tart cherry juice is because he had a recent flare-up of gout.
Right.
You know, so I should have thought to myself, hey, if he's had gout, I probably should watch what I drink in the house. It was terrible.
Do you really have those long conversations in your head? You really should.
I definitely do. I have to.
Oh.
Sometimes I'm by myself and I have no one to talk to, so I talk to myself ad nauseum. That's pretty much how that works.
Okay, then.
All right.
Which is why I don't collect money. I just pass go. Ooh, she's talking to herself again.
I
just keep walking.
I'm so busy.
So, speaking of my husband, as most of you probably know because I've been telling everybody, I got married on Sunday.
Congratulations, bitch. It's about fucking time.
I know, right? On many levels.
How many years?
We have been together for 18 years. We actually celebrated our 18th year together November 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Does your mom now recognize your mom?
And I haven't murdered each other yet. Honest to Pete. No attempts. No murdering. No attempts.
Well, okay.
What is this last time? Two times. Cherry juice.
For those of you who have seen my stand-up before, you know how my husband is. When I met him, he was a staunch Republican. But then suddenly, after having sex with me a couple of times, he defaulted to Libertarian.
Ooh, powerful.
And then, ever since then, it has just been just the crazy would just kind of started bleeding right on out of him. Because it would just, he couldn't. You cannot be conservative and have a black boyfriend that everybody knows about.
So you're saying that he gained progressiveness by injection?
I'm gonna put that in my scrapbook. But no, when Indiana finally passed and said, yes, you know, gay marriage is legal, the second time, you know, we actually kind of started thinking about it, and we realized that, you know, we had to do this. So I'm not going to say it was a rush job, but we really didn't want to put, I mean, after 18 years, having a big ceremony would have just seemed kind of, you know, pompous, I think. I know it's a celebration with friends and everything like
right.
that, but all of the people that I'm close to that are invited to the wedding, have been celebrating my relationship with my partner all this time anyway.
True.
So, and also we're broke ass broke. So that kind of, you know. So we just had this small ceremony at my mom's house. It was my mom's family because, you know, my partner's family, they're all douche canoes. I'm sorry. I took off the filter when I left my room to come down for this show, and this is what comes out. But let me tell you two things. It tells you just exactly how far we've come, you know. It's something I'm very grateful for. My nephew, who is in the seventh grade, 13 years old, insisted that there was a cake. Insisted that it be a rainbow cake. And that every time my sister made an attempt, it wasn't rainbowy enough. So at that one point, so he ended up covering this cake with M&Ms, separated by color. Like it was like diabetes, and of course, you know, my name is William, but my family calls me Bill. Bill's name is Bill. So, you know, we're just like Bill, you know, Bill and other Bill, or, you know, and Bill 1 and Bill 2. Well, what my nephew put on the top of the cake, on top of all the M&Ms, he scrawled Bill squared forever. That was like the sweetest damn thing. And I'm like, God, how can I complain? Oh, this is, and my niece, who's 6, as 6-year-olds often do, came up to me just as people are arriving at my mom's house, and she says, "Can I be the flower girl?" And I'm like, "Honey, it's December. There aren't any flowers to be seen. I mean, I'm gay, but I'm not that gay, you know." So she sat through the entire ceremony, happy as a clam, sitting there with a bag of gold medal flower in her lap.
Yes.
Yes. And she was happy with the technicality. She really was. I wish I'd gotten a picture of it, but it just didn't. It didn't. I wasn't in charge of pictures, so it was a great ceremony. It was very Motley Crue, ragtag. You know, because there's my brother who's the stoner, and then because this is a family conversation that explains everything. About a few months ago, my mother says to me, she says, "Did you know that your brother quit smoking?" I said, "Really?" She goes, "But not everything." I'm like, "Oh." She's like, "Yeah, you gotta, you know, pick your battles." So, but no, it was really nice. Glad to finally have it finally solidified and everything. What my husband learned from the whole thing is that You think you're in that closet? You think you have the door closed, that you're nice and safe?
Nope.
Not when your boyfriend is black.
Everybody knows it.
Well, because, you know, now I get to be on his insurance. So he goes up to the payroll girl, her name is Vicky, and says, "So, I am looking to put someone on my insurance as a spouse." And she said, "You mean William, right?" Yeah.
Is that spouse is like Mr. and Miss
Wait.
William?
18 years together, living in a house, all 18 years?
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks nobody knows. I'm like, really? You either got this up a boyfriend or a slave. Either way, you ain't right. Yeah, I was not surprised when he told me that Bill's work knew. Oh, God,
yes.
And he was dumbfounded. Completely. I'm like, what? I come in there every once in a while to give him lunch, and everybody's like, go give him lunch, he's such a bitch.
It's like a different version of the Snickers commercial.
Oh, yeah. Eat this triple cheeseburger because you're a real cunt when you're cranky. Okay. Yeah, he just celebrated his 50th birthday, and the entire office got together. Yeah. His entire office got together, and come to find out that they had a party for him. 50th birthday. He's the introvert. Not just an introvert, he's like classic introvert all the way. So parties aren't his thing. And so he found out later that they actually had a small meeting, all the girls at work, as to whether or not to invite me. Because they were like, but that would be a coming out party. That's what they decided. They'd be like, yeah, we'd be kind of wrenching Bill out of the closet. We really don't want to do that, you know. Because, you know me, I just show up going, oh, honey, you call these canapes?
So it was his birthday. What did you get him?
What did I get him for his birthday? Let's see.
Did you give him 50 of anything?
Oh. Or anything that was black.
Why about me? Oh, sorry.
Exactly.
Very nice, very nice. We love you, William.
I have no response. That's not going to have you in trouble.
This is Roman.
Totally, yeah, totally, totally. That does not have a response. Nice.
Socks, underwear, and dick. All three sizes too small.
Okay, listen to this. I want the entire room to know why this bitch is going to show up missing, all right? He said socks, underwear, and cock. All of them two sizes too small.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, the table of shade on the front of the room.
Like your heart.
Yeah.
But isn't it true that it's the thought that matters?
It is the thought that counts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thought that been the guy 18 years.
Yeah, no God.
You should know what size socks he wears, really.
What?
You should know what size socks he wears.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Same as me.
So you know this because you use his or he uses yours?
We will always be, at heart, bachelors when it comes to doing housework. This is not something that you can go to take a class. It has to be instinctive, and neither one of us has that. So what we do is once a year, we throw away all of our old socks, we buy a great big batch of all the same socks, so we don't have to match them.
Right.
That's what we do every single year. It's in our budget.
Almost like you're colorblind.
Yeah, it's not a matter of being colorblind, it's just who wants to sit there and, you know, this sock, that sock, and everything, fuckers. These are the angle high. Yeah, that's what we do.
Okay, what about the underwear? Is it all the same, or is it like one of you that has like an underwear thing?
I can answer that. No.
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 Okay.
I've seen William and I've seen Bill.
Underwear.
No. Oh,
you see, underwear is sort of like a.
Well, first you're presuming that someone wears underwear.
Special occasion.
Wait. So Bill doesn't wear underwear.
When it comes to doing laundry, the less laundry we do, the better.
Right.
Underwear just
clothes.
I'm just saying, when you're not wearing underwear, there's so much room for activities, you know? It's just like...
So there's two options. There's either not wearing any underwear or wearing the same underwear.
No.
Underwear is important.
Underwear is important when you don't wash your ass, okay? Underwear is very important. I wash my ass regularly.
Hence
is
Halloween.
This is a public announcement from...
Dear Facebook, I went to Midwest Bear Fest and I learned one thing new this weekend.
Wash your ass.
And when Jim offers you juice.
Make sure you're wearing clean underwear. Because you don't know where it's going to end up.
No. Very nice.
I did. Back when I first started going to Bear Runs, I did actually got on the intercom during the Sunday goodbye brunch, and I said, I'm sorry, I hate to bother everybody, but has anybody seen my shoes? I think I was labeled slut of the run. I didn't even know I was in the running. Because somebody raised their hand, I said, thank you very much, sir. I'll be over there to pick it up later.
And he's like, no, I saw them, but you're not getting them back.
Oh.
Man, that would have been... That would have been the more awkward moment.
Okay.
We asked for them back and nobody says anything.
I'm sorry. Hold up. I didn't realize I was up on stage with a couple of Quakers. You're going to say that you have not had an extremely slutty moment? Extremely slutty.
First off, that's not fair. I am from fucking Pennsylvania, bitch, so.
Oh, not a Quaker. Oh, God.
Religion.
Oh, here we go. Suddenly it's become the view.
I'm not whooping on your ass. I ain't got a problem with that. I'm sorry. You're whoopy. I'm Rosie.
Wait, why are we that way?
So, what?
Why gotta be that way? Whoopi's not.
Because I'm more lesbian than he is.
Oh, Lord knows that's the truth. Everybody here has had a moment when they have realized
that.
Everybody here has had a moment when they suddenly realized that for a brief moment they were a slutty piece of trash. Thank you. And you need to own that shit. You need to wear like.
No.
There are people over here finding Jesus. They're like, oh, praise glory. Oh, yes.
But they have not read my name on the gold plaque above the hole in the wall at the adult bookstore, so you can just back up.
Engraving is expensive, okay?
All I heard was gravy is expensive.
Ooh. So, did I ever, and be honest, have I ever told the I was the biggest piece of trash story? It involves Oklahoma City at the Havana Inn.
The answer is no.
No.
I see a lot of blank faces, I'm like, the answer is no.
How many? No. I learned this last April that story needs to die, okay?
Well, you did get called out in front of about 200 people in a ballroom.
Exactly, yes.
I think of that Love Rack story one more time. There was rock applause, and people stood up, and everything praised glory, and I thought, okay, it's time to die.
So, I'm staying at the Havana Inn. I have a couple of roommates who are off being slutty somewhere else. And I went to go get ice because I wanted something to drink. Well, I went, got ice, came back. I was just wearing the bare minimum, you know, sandals and, you know, shorts. I wasn't even wearing a shirt. And if you're familiar with the Havana Inn, it's a gay motel. All the rooms are, you know, like in that motel-type fashion. It's very crazy. It's very crazy in Oklahoma City, of all places. So there's a lot of cruising going on. So I go to get ice. I get into my room. I just close the door when there's... I'm like, well, hello. I open up the door, and there is this gorgeous cowboy-looking man. I mean, completely... It's Oklahoma City. This is what they do. He's got on the shit kickers. He's got on the hat and everything. And he's got this beautiful beard. And he goes, you sub dick. It's amazing.
This does not make you slutty. This just makes you sweat.
Wait. I haven't finished the story yet.
You don't have to.
Point.
Wait, yes, I do.
No, you don't. My imagination has a beautiful rendition playing out right now in the projector of my mind, and you're not in it.
Oh, So, anywho, it's funny how you spend your entire life fantasizing about one moment, and when it comes, you can't think of a goddamn thing to say. So I just said,
Words don't matter.
Well, they kind of do.
Knee pads would have been the clue.
Oh, that was a bed. I didn't need knee pads or anything. So I said,
head over the edge of the bed.
Head over the edge of the bed. No, you just kind of like,
I know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Testify. Amen. So, anyway.
We're going to wrap up the show over to church, you realize.
So,
and you almost turned to
I said, well, yeah, and he goes, can you do it quickly? And I'm kind of like, well, yeah, sure, why not?
You know, listen, the time frame.
Huh?
Good things come to those who wait.
Wait for it, okay? There's a reason why there was a time limit. So I invite him in. I service him. Well, thank you very much. It didn't mean to make it sound like a Jiffy Lube, but he received exactly what he came for. So he points to Gryffindor. He zipped up, you know, he's just getting ready to leave, and all of a sudden I decide, I'm like, oh God, I'm like, so you stay here at the hotel, and he turns around and he goes, I'm sorry, I can't stay. My wife's waiting for me out in the car. I was like, what? Oh, no. He goes, no. She thinks I'm buying drugs.
I just had to think about that imagery for a moment. He says, my wife thinks I'm buying drugs. And instead, she will blow. Okay.
Okay, so my question then is, that doesn't make you the slut.
Wait for it.
Story's not done.
The point is, as I was a horrible, trashy slut, and I didn't even know it at the time, that's what sucks. Because I decide I'm going to pull some Nancy Drew shit. I put on my slippers and I followed him to his vehicle.
Pause.
What?
Nancy Drew puts on slippers?
I didn't have my heels.
Girl, this ain't the mystery of the old clock, honey. Well, I'm putting my slippers.
I can see him putting a little, you know, pastel colored sweater with one button.
So you've heard the story.
No, I'm sorry.
So I'm following him. I'm like, dun-dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I find that he is.
Wait. When you play Nancy Drew, the Scooby-Doo soundtrack plays in your head.
This is my goddamn story, all right?
I'm not over fun.
But this is Scooby-Doo episode 936. The episode of Diller.
Phyllis Diller.
The case of the slutty piece of trash, okay?
I'm on Little Trotters.
Yes.
So, of course.
I'm on the home stretch. So, I finally get there, and sure enough, I look down, and there's this huge Impala station wagon sitting there. It's still running. And there's his wife in the passenger seat turning around feeding their baby. And that's when I realized I am the sluttiest piece of trash ever, and I didn't even know I was doing it.
I want so badly to subtitle your homewrecker, but that's not going to apply.
If he had come to me, and if he had said, my wife's waiting for me, she thinks I'm buying drugs, oh, and by the way, will you suck my dick?
Would you have done
it? No, I would.
There's no yes. There's a
no. I couldn't. I would not be able to. That is where I draw the line.
You can protest all you want. If it is a hard dick in front of your face.
Wait, which of these factors?
Wait! Okay,
which
wait, hold on.
Make you a slut?
Hold on. If there's a hard dick in my face, that's when I stop asking questions and I get to it, okay? So, you here on business.
So, nice. But which of those makes you a slut? The lack of drugs. The...
I don't don't know what he did in part of that story.
It was like I
met someone on Craigslist and I didn't even know it because that's a Craigslist slutty thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh, is it time already? To be fair.
This is a Jerry Springer moment.
This is one of the reasons why you're one of my best friends, because you are so giving.
But I'm receiving whatever floats your boat.
I mean, to be fair.
Well, you know, I'm going to help a guy out.
You know. You know what? You helped a man in a moment of need.
Yes, I did.
But you were your own downfall. You decided to put on your slippers and then go play Nancy Drew.
I wish I had known. And he would have gotten away with it, too.
This is why when tricks leave the room, you don't follow.
I learned that. I told you.
Okay, even before that, don't ask.
Don't tell. I'm just saying.
I didn't think since that policy ended it would come back, but I'm proud to hear that. That's a good one.
I'm getting yelled at. I got to stop the show, and I'm glad I finished the story of what I did. So, because
here comes Mike Davis Productions. We apologize for running over, but
we didn't go over that much, did we?
No.
They're ready to come in and set up for dinner, and it's for some reason it's a barbecue chicken and all that stuff. Yes. Okay, so thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Gary, thanks for helping me out.